Yo, what's happening, everybody? This is Jerome Thornton checking in, man, for the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. And we are on number or volume 90 of the Quarantine Lean Edition. Man, make some noise, man. It's been a whole lot of things going on with, throughout the United States, man. And to be honest, it's been pure fuckery, right? So let's just jump straight into it, okay? We're having problems with people just doing shit to be seen. Bad behavior, and we are accepting the bad behavior. We are giving the youth entitlement. I mean, we are accepting black on black crime. We are accepting abortion. When we know that black people get aborted the most, it's un. Call for. But let's go to. Oh, and if y'all hear something in the background, just to let y'all know, I'm in the hood, right? This is just where I'm at right now. I'm still rehabbing my house. I'm in the middle of the hood. They riding these damn three-wheelers and motorcycles all day and all night. They wilding out. So please excuse me. There's been a whole lot going on in track and field. The young lady Shakara Richardson, she's just states that well, basically, she's been in the news lately because she's a very, very fast young woman. And I think that she broke the United States record. For in the 100 meters, I think it was. Let's see here. A 10-6. Yes. 10-6-4. Days later, comes out that Shakara Richardson actually smoked marijuana. And not only did she smoke marijuana, she was on her way to the Olympics. And marijuana is on the banned medical drug enhancement list. So immediately, you have the get along, the go along, the get along gang. All of these black people, including Steven Jackson, which I'm starting to see. You know what? I hate to mention people, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Peace and blessings to you, my brother. But he mentioned her name and he put this out there, what would happen if all black people decided to withdraw from the Olympics? And then he started to give, I guess some Moorish rhetoric, which I didn't really pay attention to. But the point is that everybody started to go in on marijuana, that it, that it should not be legal. I mean, it should be removed from the ban list and this and this and this. And they did everything that they could, except basically do the same thing that Shakara did, which is accept responsibility. But she came right back to that and says, you know what, no one could give me a way to grieve because my mother died. And there, the, I tell you the truth, public opinion is one of the biggest threats to the American society if it's on a world stage, especially when it has something to do with black people. And here's the reason why. And I said this long before. Our voices make the loudest vibration. I don't care behind any cause or whatever it is. Our voices make the loudest vibrations. So then all of a sudden you start to have these vibrations coming through about let her run. And then it had to be some other intellectuals that step in, other television shows that step in, speak for itself, to be honest, or to be exact. Marcellus Wiley and the other guy over there, you know what I'm saying? They held it down and they basically put her in check. You know, because of the voice of public opinion, and people started to say, well, you know, okay, her mother died and this and this and this. But at the same time, and this is not a shot at Miss Richardson. Sweetheart, I love you. I admire you because at least you put up a unified front and say, hey, you know what? Look, this is what's going on. I'm accepting my responsibility. And, you know, I'm not looking for an out. You did give a complete story. You were totally transparent and just say, hey, you know what? My mother was grieving and I need something to calm me down. And in that scenario, I don't blame you. I don't. And you're not in the wrong for that, sweetheart. And as a matter of fact, you know what? This is real life. You missed an opportunity, but that's fine. Self-preservation is very, very important for your mental health. I don't blame her. The people who I'm blaming is all of these damn 35, 40, 45, 50, 55. All of these people out here making these excuses for her. Softening up the situation. Now, this woman know what she did. She's a grown woman. She made her bed, let her lay in it. Because the message that we've been sending to the youth, oh, I don't know what they're doing. You know what? They're so lost. They're so this. They're so confused. But guess who's fucking confusing them and having them lost? We are. We're the elder statesmen in life at this point in time. And if we continue to soften situations, they won't know what consequence is. They won't know what accountability is. In this situation, the person who was penalized the most wasn't the one that was sitting back doing the crying. My goodness, we tried to turn this thing upside down, y'all, and make it a race scenario. Knowing damn well it wasn't. The Olympics is a global organization. And if that was the rule, that was the rule. But man, I appreciate everybody for rocking with me. It's been a while. Actually, June 9th since the last podcast. I mean, I've been having a whole lot of stuff going on. It's been a lot of stuff that's been really, 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 really happening, man. I mean, people are out here with guns. You know, the president of Haiti got assassinated. You know, so mind you, these are all black people, but I'm not going to get off onto my international tangent. But what I will say is that black people are suffering all over the world. And we need an intervention. We need true self-healing. But let me get back on task, though. I appreciate everybody for rocking with me, man. But speaking about somebody else and accountability, I had spoken on this earlier. Wow, wow, wow. There's a saying down south. I think Miss Emma Mason used to say it. She used to go to church with us. A very, very influential woman. She was a friend of my grandfather, right? And my grandfather helped build a whole lot of houses in a small community called Lightwood, Louisiana. And they had a saying back then, and they said, God sent it, but the devil brought it. Speaking of accountability. Naomi Osaka pulled out of the French Open because she stated that she had anxiety from reports, from being in front of the media. It gives her anxiety. So as a result of that, she's choosing her mental health above all. And here we go again. Guess what? A lot of people came to her defense by her just withdrawing from the French Open, refusing to do interviews. Right? But guess what just happened? Lo and behold, she just gave a speech. For the ESPYs, a short one, but she did. Guess what also she did? She withdrew from Wimbledon. She's the number one player, tennis player in the United States. Just so happened to be half black. Black people my age came to her defense, supporting her. Says, you know what, girl, you're right. Go ahead. Can't nobody tell you. See, and this is what I'm talking about. Accountability. Being present for the moment. Being there when things are uncomfortable. Guess what else she also did? She just did an interview with Time Magazine. But she can't do an interview with the French Open? It was bullshit. It was another situation to where someone should have pulled her to the side. And this is where, if anyone knows me and follows my podcast, you'll know that Serena Williams and Venus Williams are one of my two greatest athletes ever, especially Serena. And in that moment, I feel as though Serena, she failed Naomi because she backed her up versus just telling her, you know what, hey, look, kid, I've been doing this for over 23 years right now. You're going to have to get used to this. You're going to, you know, these people, they're not here to like you. They're going to be asking you some very, very dumb, crazy, and borderline questions. You're going to have to maintain your composure, be a professional. And if you're uncomfortable with the answer, just say next question. Okay? If you want to stick around as long as I have, take it from someone who's dominated the sport and who's been a professional. I'm handing the reins over to you. Hopefully you take this sport to the next level and do great things. That was the response that I was looking for Serena to provide to Naomi. But it wasn't, though. She completely backed her up. And I understand that Serena has a whole lot of bad blood, because the things that Naomi is complaining about, what? Serena has endured that times 1,000. Seriously. She never ran from the sport, though. To me, it just got to a point in time to where I really do feel if Serena was able to be at 150 pounds, she could have dominated the sport for 30 years. 30 years. Being a top tier tennis player for 30 years. She just had a baby. And she had some injuries, but she did get heavier throughout the years. Which is no slight against her. Because me, myself, personally, I think Serena Williams is the most, one of the most dominant pro athlete players that we will ever see in our lifetime. Now, why did I bring up Naomi right after Miss Richardson? Because there is a difference in regards to their stand. Miss Richardson took accountability. Naomi scapegoated. She scapegoated using mental health. And that's not cool. Saying that she has, that she gets anxiety doing interviews. Right? But here she is accepting an ESPY and doing interviews. Come on, y'all. And we have to do better. Another scenario in regards to doing better. The damn BET Awards. I mean, I'm just going to just leave that right there and just let y'all come in on that. Because it's so disturbing to me. You know what? And I'm just going to say it. I'm sick and tired of these people trying to turn black boys into girls. I'm sick and tired of them telling them that, you know what? It's okay for you to choose. That you don't understand. Who in the fuck gives y'all the right to tell children and impressionable kids that they don't understand about their sexuality besides their own damn parents? Y'all need to be ashamed of yourself. It's fucking sickening. And you all are overstepping your boundaries. Really. But for anybody that wants to know or that's concerned, I haven't watched the BET Awards in 12 years. I did see some highlights or something. Maybe even I stopped supporting BET when Bob Johnson sold it to Viacom. Nor do I no longer support the OWN channel because Oprah Winfrey sold her stake. I still listen to Tidal, but I'm considering, you know, unsubscribing to that as well because Jay-Z sold his stake. To white corporations, might I add. Accountability, y'all. Being present for the moment. We have to keep something. I stopped watching the Versus battle because Timbaland and Swiss Beats dumbass, they sold that shit to Thriller. To the Thriller app people. Accountability, y'all. Why can't y'all figure out a way to keep this money in another black person's hand? Why y'all so quick to sell out? After our lives and our culture is being put on Front Street for our entertainment and the world's entertainment, and the next thing you know, it was all just a ploy for you to make money and then sell it off. I don't get that. Okay. We are going to dive just a little bit deeper. We're going to start talking about platforms. What is a platform? How do you create one? What should you do with it? How should you market it? Are you good at it? So there is a certain podcast. I'm not going to say any names, but they have been taken off like astronomically. And all of a sudden it comes out to find out some other guy exposes them because I guess they're no longer doing business. And I'm not going to say his name neither because, I mean, the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast, we really don't get down like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like when I had mentioned Stevens Jackson's name earlier, I mentioned his name, but I, you know what I'm saying? I tried to speak in the best light possible. Much respect to Naomi. I'm not mad at you, sweetheart. You know what I'm saying? But I have to point out the truth. Okay. I'm not saying that you, hey, listen, I listen to, Cardi, Young Cardi. I do. You know what I'm saying? So salute to y'all and salute to Miss Richardson. I want to, you know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a show that's bringing that try to bring in the tea. You know what I'm saying? It's more of a message in my show. And that's how I always like to keep it. But sometimes I had to keep shit 100 too. So, came to find out that someone paid $50,000, right, to be on a podcast. Now, and then they start exposing the people that was on the podcast, XYZ, XYZ. Was dude right for doing this? Because he felt that there was some unfair business practices and he was getting played. And you know what I'm saying? His loyalty was to the people that he was doing business with, and they turned his back and they turned their backs on him. So now that you all know the inside story, what is a platform, and how does it happen? A platform is created when a person, regardless of who you are, starts either a YouTube page, a social media page, a Twitter account, a Tumblr account, whatever type of social media account that you have to push your or web page, a news outlet. Whatever it is that you have that you can communicate with the masses in an instant, an Instagram page, that's really what a platform is. So, what makes a platform valuable? Content to me is always king, and this is the reason why I stay true to my roots and I always try to have good content. But a lot of people go for shock value. A lot of people do different things, like dancing, cooking, jokes, even athletics, even different things such as quote unquote modeling or spoken word or positive encouragement. I mean, it is endless. The avenues are endless. So this is what makes your platform define itself coming from the content that you put out. Okay, so now what makes it profitable? What makes a platform profitable? A platform is starting to become profitable because when the content that you reach, that you communicate is reaching so many different people and it's receiving either positive or negative results. Some people don't care because any attention is good attention, especially on social media. That's the reason why you see so many of these people doing these crazy challenges and shit like that because, you know, they want to get attention. You know, we've seen everything. You know, it was this one person that was eating food out of a toilet bowl. Not sure if they cleaned the toilet bowl or not, but this is what happened. So once your platform is start to become consistent and it's consistently reaching the masses, then guess what? Okay, advertisers start to come. Different people, whether they're hip hop artists or fashion connoisseurs or restaurants or whatever, they want to be on your so-called platform. Now, what this means is that this, you must consistently do this on several different platforms, to me, in my opinion. The person that's popping on Instagram should also be popping on YouTube. And the person that's popping on YouTube should also be popping on Twitter. And whatever, all the way to their own personal website, because you really want to basically make, to me, you want it to be a trickle down effect. And obviously, if possible, have a product to sell or have a nice something for people to want more. Okay? So what that's going to do is that the more inconsistent that you are on all social media platforms is that people are going to want to come and sit down with you, talk to you. They're going to want to do some different things like business launches and, you know, so you can sit down and discuss their product. XYZ, the possibilities are endless. Maybe, you know, a former athlete or a current athlete would like to, you know, sit down with you because, you know what I'm saying, you popping and they trying to expand their brand and different things like that. It's endless. Or maybe a public official. I've done it several times. Who's trying to get elected? Who's trying to get their message out to who? The masses in regards to what they're going to be doing for the community. Possibilities are endless. But when it gets to a point to where people want to pay $50,000, then that's raising the stake. But let me let you know why that's not a lot of money. Okay, because a lot of people are like, oh, people are out here paying, you know, to be on podcasts and different things like this. First of all, let me break this down. In order for someone to have a podcast, they have to have electricity, right? They have to have obviously a building of some sort. So that means gas and water. They're gonna need to have equipment, whether it's even if it's just the basics, whether it's their phone. So they're gonna have to be paying their phone bill a month. So podcasts are not free, right? I repeat, podcasts are not free. They're not free to run. They're not free to maintain. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of talent. Now, let me let you know that the reason why $50,000 is not a lot. Do you know how much Nike spends on marketing? Do you know how much Facebook and Google, do you know how much money they pull in on marketing? And then they actually return it back out to market more people and to come in and to doing Google ads and Facebook ads and to joining Facebook and Instagram because Facebook owns Instagram, right? So they're putting in a lot of money to do these things. Do you know how much money Facebook is paying influencers? And Amazon is paying influencers, and Wish is paying influencers to market. It's part of the business. So if I'm selling something, let's just say, for instance, for $99, and I make an agreement with you. Hey, look, I'm gonna come in. We're gonna highlight who I am. We're gonna talk about my product. We're gonna talk about my business. We're gonna talk about my past. We're gonna talk about my failures. And we're also gonna talk about what's got me up to this point now, and how I'm helping other people go from A to B to Z and become successful. And also, after the podcast is done, I'm gonna keep your video up. I'm going to keep your link up. So for everybody that comes here, they're going to have a chance to either listen to your message, or they're going to be able to click here to buy whatever it is that you're selling. We make the video, 450,000 people view the video within 72 hours. Sometimes marketing budgets are based upon a quarter. Right, that's 3 months. Semi-annual, right? It's basically four stages. The first 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and a year. Or you could go by month to month. So can you imagine if this person spent a 50,000, and then now 450,000 views? That means that people have watched the video, right, long enough to know who this person is, to get their social media outlet, to get their maybe their phone number, their email address, and just know exactly what it is that what they're selling. They don't even listen to the whole hour and a half video. Do you know how powerful that is? It's very powerful. Now let's just say, for instance, out of 450,000, that 2,500 people go to his site within 3 days. Let's just say, for instance, if he's selling three products, one for 55, one for 65, and one for 175. Let's just say, for instance, out of the 2,500, 800 buy. 800. He's damn near recouped half of his 50,000 in a day. Now this video is going to keep going and going and going and going and going and going. So that means that 50,000, he's just paid for damn near a lifetime of marketing. Just like that. Now, that's just the video. Let's just say, for instance, out of the 800 people, now we're getting into real numbers. Out of 800 people, 700 love the course. 100 refunded because they didn't think that it was going to work. So, a little bit of loss. But moving forward, everybody, the course lasts 3 weeks. People see the results, they start practicing what's been taught to them, and oh my God, let's just say, for instance, they're trying to learn how to grow watermelons. Oh my God, I have the biggest California watermelons in the back of my yard. So now they're on Instagram. Hey guys, guess what? Look at my watermelons. Didn't I tell you guys I invested in the course? And look, I have watermelons. I don't know about you guys, but I highly recommend this dude, this, that, and the third. Now, he and his team, they're seeing you, and now they're reposting everything that you've seen and that you said. And now they're cutting the video down, and now they're starting to make their own semi-marketing campaigns off of good customer feedback. Guess what that's gonna do? generate more sales. So now, in actuality, when we were almost there to the 50,000, let's just say 3 months down the road, this guy or this woman has the potential to be up 10,000 now. Because people are referring them on their own social media pages. Right? So this is free marketing to them. And other people are seeing this and everybody's starting to repost it. Now this person is what they call lit in a social media marketplace. Everybody wants to what they have because it's been tested. It's been tried and true. And they've exposed their product to a whole nother different demographic because they invested the $50,000 to be on the show to get exposed to different listeners. In a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen, that's how it goes. Now, am I saying that you should invest your last $50,000 to straggle out there and go on your business idea? No. But obviously, this person who invested the $50,000, quote unquote, had $50,000 to pay. So say, for instance, if this person was a millionaire or maybe had $650,000 in the bank and he's trying to count up, he or she is trying to count up, they had $650,000. This is not for the weak or for the weak pocket, so to speak. I'm just letting you all know how the game go, because sometimes when people hear, you know, this person paid that. That's because they sat down, they came up with a plan, they were able to execute it, and they knew they were getting the money back. It's just like Burger King or McDonald's. When they're spending all of that money on those commercials cost money, goddammit. They're doing that to get the information out to you, to let you know, hey, look, we got the biggest and best chicken sandwich on the market. And if you come in here, we're going to show you. And if you come eat this chicken sandwich one time, you're going to be back again and again and again. Bring your family and friends. It's the same thing with people paying to get on podcasts. Make sense? All right. So now, since we done talked about that, now where we going? I said I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to go here as well. You know what? I'm not. I'm going to let other people handle that. Maybe if you all tune in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast, Quarantine Lean Edition, volume number 91. Big salute out of class 91, by the way. Big salute out of class 97 and 98. Everybody out in Chicago doing a damn thing. Everybody out in Bastrop, Louisiana, doing their damn thing. Y'all put them damn guns down. Everybody on the west and east side of Rockford doing the damn thing. Lafayette, Indiana, doing the damn thing. Dallas, Texas, doing the damn thing. I don't know why I just had to shout that out. You know what I'm saying? Gary, Indiana. You know what I'm saying? L.A., New York. You hear me? New York. Everybody in New York. Memphis 10. You know what I'm saying? What's good? Stockton, California. What's cracking? I'm going to put another one out. Everybody that's out there in the favelas in Brazil. What up, though? I fuck with y'all. You know what I'm saying? But, man, I thank y'all again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. You know what I'm saying? I really do appreciate it. And y'all be cool. Protect yourself from negative people and negative energy that's going to try to penetrate your force field and break you down and distract whatever positive resources that you have and then leave you in a bad place. Protect your energy. Protect your peace. Don't stop believing in God. And I'm going to see y'all a little bit later.